Hi, and welcome to Talkword. I'm Marty Dunnix, editor-in-chief of Weekly Nurse Magazine, and this is Talkword, a little talk show where professionally funny people come and tell funny, awkward, cringeworthy stories. Today, my guest is Jenny Hogan. She is a comedy writer and a comedy performer. She does stand-up and a variety of comedy things. Thanks for being on the show.
Oh, yeah, thanks for having me.
So did you start out doing comedy writing, or did you start out doing stand-up and then do writing?
Yeah, I started out doing stand-up. I started in San Francisco. I did stand-up there for like a year. And then I moved back to New York. And I grew up in New York. And then when I moved back is when I kind of started writing for websites and that sort of thing.
When did you move back to New York?
A little over a year ago, like last March, maybe.
So did you start writing for like The New Yorker recently?
Yeah, my first one was in January.
Is it the one about the toxic work environment? The females?
Yeah.
I was just reading that, and that's one of the funniest things I've read.
Thank you so much.
That was so good.
Thank you.
What's the full name of the article?
It's called Examples of Toxic Femininity in the Workplace.
Example of it, and I promise I won't butcher it. I might butcher it though. But my absolute favorite. It's a bunch of short little examples, and I like this one.
Yeah,
you can read this one. Read it in your voice, just because I'm gonna wreck everything I do.
Lisa comes in for an interview. All the interviewers judge her objectively based on her qualifications and candor of her responses. This leaves her so confused that on the way out of the office, she accidentally walks into traffic and dies.
So when you start writing an article like this, I mean, how do you start writing an article like this? Like, what's the kernel of an idea that turns into this, and then you send it in, hoping for the best?
Yeah, so I really like to kind of, like, latch on to phrases. Like, I think that's something I'm, like, pretty into. If it's either, like, something, like, a commonly used phrase, basically. So with this one, everyone was talking about toxic masculinity, I guess, and they still are. And so I kind of, also, I just kind of think, like, in general, kind of reversing genders or really any kind of, like, reversals can be really funny. Like, if you imagine what would happen if instead of talking about, like, toxic masculinity, they were talking about toxic femininity.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of where I got it. And then, like, yeah, for these sort of articles, it should, like, heighten, basically. So I feel like a lot of my articles end up with, like, everyone dead, basically, because it's, like, that's the only way to heighten.
I also feel like a lot of the stuff I've read, visually it works. So, you know, you read it and you can visualize it. It's not like, I feel like they could be performed almost.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
You know?
I mean, I have done that show, The Evening of Humorous Readings.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was like a fun, I hadn't like ever read these things out loud, sort of, but yeah, that was very cool.
Yeah, I feel like they could be illustrated or animated or, you know, like.
Well, The New Yorker has so many great illustrated ones. Mm-hmm. I think, I don't know if it's like they have illustrators there who do it, but I feel like a lot of their like daily shots are like, the actual written part is very short, and then there's like a lot of illustrations.
Yeah, they do a lot of multimedia type stuff.
Yeah.
What's the most, well, you did the show for Weekly Humorist last Monday, which was great. You're a great stand-up.
Oh, thank you so much.
How much stand-up do you do in New York?
I do it like pretty much every day.
Do you really?
Yeah. I'm like slowing down a little bit. When I first moved here, I wasn't working at all, and I was doing stand-up like maybe like 8 hours a day. It was like kind of insane. But now I'll do it like,
Is it like this crazy drive you have to get up on stage and tell the jokes?
I mean, honestly, like when I first moved here, I just like didn't really have that much to do. And I really
I was bored.
Yeah. I don't think I have a crazy drive to get up on stage and tell jokes. I really wanted to like break into the scene. Cause like in San Francisco, the scene was like, the stand-ups I knew were like my best friends, and it just felt like really fun. We were hanging out all the time. So I really wanted to like get to the point in New York where I felt that way. So I was like, I'll just do it constantly.
Because it's a tight-knit group, I feel like, the New York stand-up scene. Everyone seems to know everybody.
Yeah.
And if no one knows you, you're terrible.
Yeah. It's true. And there are a lot of mics where they don't laugh at you if they don't know you.
They're
you
like,
know?
No.
Yeah.
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 You have to break in. You have to get the approval of the other comics.
Yeah.
Not just the audience.
I know. And also, I mean, I mostly do open mics, so the audience is just the other comics.
What mics do you like to do in the city aren't open mics?
Oh, yeah. So I go, I don't know where I do. I produce a show at the Pit Loft. You know the Pit Loft?
Mm-hmm.
Although we're probably not going to keep doing it. Well, I don't know if we're going to keep doing the show.
Place. Why? Is it the place?
Oh, no, it's not the place. I like the place a lot.
The place is great.
Yeah.
Love that place.
Big fan of the Pit Loft.
Big fan.
It's just hard to get. Well, I mean, you know, you produce a show. It's hard to get like an audience.
That is the most stressful thing. I feel so relieved after the show. Yeah. Not during the show. During the show, I'm a nervous wreck. I can never enjoy the show. I never sit and just enjoy the comics, which is so sad. Like, I'll go to other people's shows. Like, I'll go to, like, if you produce a stand-up show, I'll go to your show.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you tell me that you're on something, I will go to your show and I'll enjoy myself. And I'll have a great time. Like, there's another great comic, Keenan Steiner.
Oh, yeah,
who's done? He's done the show, and he produces a great show called Comedy on the Corner.
Yeah,
and it's in Hungry Ghost. Hungry Ghost is the coffee chain, right?
I've done that show. Yeah, and it's like in Fort Greene.
And I went to his show, and it was so delightful to not be at a show where I had to worry about anything. Mm-hmm. You know, and I could tell he was stressing about. Yeah. Oh, there's nobody. And I got there. You know, I got there ahead of time, but the show was supposed to start at 8 or whatever. And I was like, huh?
Yeah,
Keenan, this place is empty, and he's like freaking out. And I'm like, glad this isn't my show, you know? But it doesn't matter. And people did come. People always end up showing up. And it was fun. And there was great comics. And Carmen Legala was there.
Oh, you know, she's great.
Oh, she's so funny. So it was a great time. And I just enjoy going to comedy shows where I don't have to do anything. So, but definitely promoting the shows is so, you got to bother people on Facebook. You got to bother people with Eventbrite links.
Yeah.
You got to be like, please, you know, Time Out New York, please feature me. Please feature me. And you're just like, ugh. After you do it a couple, I've been doing this for 6 months, 8 months or whatever. And it's just like every time I do get an audience, but it can be so like, I stopped asking friends. You know, the first two.
Because if they've come enough, then they get bored.
First two, it's like they've punched their ticket. They're done. They don't want to see you anymore.
Yeah.
So now it's just people. But they do come. And this building is great just because.
I was going to ask, because WeWork's pretty social.
WeWork social. So it's not always WeWork people because it's so late in the day that they've already left. So if it was like a happy hour show, that'd be great. But they're gone. And it's always on a Monday, people leave. But this building itself has 20 floors of residences.
Oh, that's pretty nice.
So if I can get them to come down, that's usually great. So
yeah, that's awesome.
That's kind of where it gets like. But you don't want to do it anymore because it's a pain to do all the marketing?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like I'm trying to do shows that aren't just stand-up. Like I did a sketch show recently and I have another one.
Do you do like UCB type stuff? Are you like a improv?
I don't do improv at all. I did all the UCB classes, and I like them a lot, but I don't go to their stuff.
Is that how you made comedy connections with other writers?
I think I made many more connections doing stand-up, because I did it, like, every day, or still, like, do it every day.
But don't stand-up people hate improv people?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. We put an improv team on our show, usually, because they're, like, really good listeners, and they're, like, really nice and, like, supportive. And they sit and listen to the stand-ups the whole time, and they, like, laugh at everything. And then they go up at the end, and, like, none of the stand-ups pay any attention.
They're all just checking their phones.
Exactly.
Because they're about to get onto another mic someplace.
Yeah, some of them, like, leave. I'm like, I can't believe you're leaving for the last set. You're so mean. So the stand-ups do hate improvisers. I like improvisers. I think they're really nice. They're a little – I don't really love, like, performing, and I find them kind of, like, high energy. But UCB is, like, a really nice community. Like, I like it a lot.
They're very nurturing. Mm-hmm. It's like a comedy camp.
Yeah, you know. Or do you do improv at all?
I don't do anything. Okay. I do drawing. I went to college for art, and then I did radio in college, and then I came out of school and I came here and I started doing newspaper illustration. Mm-hmm. So I was an illustrator. So I did like stuff like that, like the paintings behind me. I would do that for like a Village Voice type paper. Mm-hmm. Which is now at a bit, it was called the New York Press, but I was like the weekly comedy editorial illustrator. So I would just have to come up with funny jokes based on an article. And then that was my thing. So,
cool.
So I was like in publishing when publishing wasn't completely dead. And then I thought, hey, now that publishing is completely dead now in 2018, why don't I start a magazine to get people to subscribe to it? And people are going. I mean, people go to websites. So, you started your own comedy website.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Little Old Lady
Little
Comedy.
Little Old Lady Comedy, yeah.
LOL.
LOL, yeah.
And your mascot is a little old lady.
It is, yeah.
And when did you launch that?
It was in November, I think.
So pretty recently.
It's pretty recent, yeah.
And you've had some pretty big success with traffic and stuff. I think I saw something online of you've had some huge spikes and some very popular articles.
Yeah, we have had some. So we use Reddit a lot. Do you use Reddit?
See, I want to talk to you about Reddit because I'm trying to crack Reddit because people are mean on Reddit.
Oh, they're mean.
Oh, they're so mean.
I can give you some Reddit tips if you want. Do you want them?
Sure.
Okay, so one, you can select to not get replies to your inbox. That's like an option after you post something. You can just, you have to uncheck it.
All right.
Which is great because then you don't have to read the comments. The other thing is, like, after you post stuff, you should, like, the next day, you should go through and delete everything. Because otherwise, you stand, like, a big chance of getting, like, banned from sub... I mean, you'll get banned from subreddits anyway. But you don't want someone to be able to go to your profile and see that you're posting, like, the same website every day.
But if I delete all the things I post, no one's going to vote them up.
Well, you have to... You leave them up for a day. So okay. You have to hope they get upvoted in the first day.
Oh, so it's one day, and if it expires, you pull myself out.
Yeah.
Because I've definitely gotten banned on multiple occasions for posting all from the same site.
Yeah. Oh, and then... So to get around posting from the same site, this is something we just started doing. Because we used to be on Medium, and then I was like, well, they're not going to ban all of Medium. But
right.
Now we have our own domain, so I'm like, they might actually ban our whole domain.
Yeah.
So what we do is we post... one article once, and then you can share the link to the Reddit. So then we post the link to the Reddit instead of sharing the original article again.
Oh.
And we also often will share the link to the Facebook post or the tweet.
So if I put out a hilarious thing by you on Weekly Humorist, I don't send people that weeklyhumorist.com link. I send them the Facebook link or the Reddit link.
You could do that. Yeah. So you could post it once on Reddit, and then there's an option to share, and then you're sharing a Reddit link to other subreddits.
All right.
Yeah. Those are my hacks, I would say.
And that works?
It doesn't work that well.
You're like, no, it doesn't work. I'm just telling you how I failed.
No, I mean, it works a little. It's not perfect. Like, there are we still have a lot of articles that don't get any views, but our whole domain hasn't gotten banned.
That's good.
Yeah. And then another thing that you should do is you should always use Reddit from Google Incognito, because you're going to want to, like, at some point just delete your account and start all over again with the bans, so then you can use the banned subreddits again. So if you use Google Chrome Incognito, they won't be able to track it back to you. Because I've had, like, several Reddit accounts just get, like, completely banned, but it's fine because they can't track it to me.
I've only had, I guess I don't even notice, because I'll put things on Reddit. And I'll be like, how come no one likes me? Then I'll try to search for the link and you can't find it because I've been banned. But they don't tell you.
Oh, yeah.
They don't even tell you that you've been banned. You just think you're operating and just no one likes you. And I'm like, oh, I thought I just maybe don't have any friends. It's like, no, you got banned like 6 months ago and just no one told you that you're not invited to the party anymore.
Yeah.
And I just didn't even know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I made another account and then I put up something else. But now what we have, we actually just made an official Weekly Humorist Reddit account.
Oh, cool.
So it's like we're not like, hey, we're not trying to pull a fast one. This is our official account.
Yeah.
So it should be okay that we're sharing our content,
right? Oh, is it? It's your own subreddit?
Yeah. It's no, it's not, we just do things in the satire.
That's subreddit. The best one to do. They're nice there, right?
Yeah, like, they seem pretty gentle.
They don't ban. Yeah, but I also never get like a ton of upvotes from that one.
There's no one there.
Yeah.
No one like pays attention.
Yeah. Sometimes I get like one or I'll get like two upvotes. Maybe.
But then you try putting something in like humor.
Yeah, that
and
never
they're
picks
mean.
Up. Yeah.
And they, I mean, it's just memes.
Yeah.
It's just mean memes.
Mean memes.
And then if you try doing political humor, it's just really anti-Trump memes, but they're like really aggressive. Like they're not clever. They're just like really aggressive mean.
Yeah.
So it's tough to find an audience there to really put things in.
Yeah. Some recommendations I have. There's one that's just LOL.
Okay.
That's a pretty good one. You'll get banned if you do it more than like once a week, but you can get some upvotes there. If you have stuff that's kind of like for women or like that you think women would like, Troll X Chromosomes and Troll X Funny are both good.
Okay.
And then there's also one called Funny that is okay. It's not great. Like it.
I think I've tried Funny. Yeah. And then I need to go into Humor with the U.
Humor with Humor.
It's like, it's humor spelled the English way.
Yeah.
And if you, it's small, and I'm guessing they're very polite, right? Because it's going to be a bunch of
British
people.
Shit, I'm going to post everything in Humor today.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a guy actually. He's not here either. Oh, he's away. He's an upstairs guy on the fourth floor. He works for a completely different company, but he is the face of the mascot. This is the mascot for Weekly Humorist.
Oh, nice.
We needed a mascot because Esquire has one, and the New Yorker has that snotty person in the top hat.
Right, yeah.
So this is, he actually has a crazy mustache like that.
He looks
humorous. British.
Yeah.
He's British. He has a thick accent.
Yeah.
And he lives in part, he rides a bicycle. He calls it a cycle or whatever British people say. But he's, I guess he's a Redditor, and he's been trying to tell me how to use Reddit. He uses it for gardening.
Oh, wow. See, if you are really into one thing, Reddit can be a great community. Because, like, in the gardening subreddits, they probably want people who just want to talk about gardening, you know?
Yeah. like legit questions about houseplants and how to keep things going.
Because we'll post our satirical stuff in Reddits that are about a specific topic, and then they don't want it.
They're like, we don't want you to make fun of us. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah.
I honestly am learning how to pet a garden.
yeah, exactly.
I don't need like your mean crap.
Yeah.
You smartass.
Yeah.
So aside from the writing for comedy places, you're writing a book. You're writing a book on tech.
Yeah, kind of. It's about women in tech. It was based, well, not like based on, but it kind of came from that New Yorker article that talks about.
So it's going to have that kind of tone?
I don't know if there are like a few pieces that have that tone, but they contacted me like because of that article and they wanted like the book form, but it's like many different short pieces of like different kinds of things. They're like quizzes and like.
What kind of satire book that's a collection of short comedy essays is the type of thing that you read? Because my favorite would be, I don't know if you've ever read Pure Drivel, which was Steve Martin's collection of articles from, I think, either New York Magazine or The New Yorker.
Yeah.
And it's so, like, it's insanely funny.
Yeah.
And it's like, hard to find something that reaches that to me, like, out there now. Like,
yeah.
I don't find anybody as funny as that.
Yeah.
There's a collection of McSweeney's, like, one of the earliest books McSweeney's put out based on the comedy side. That's really funny.
Yeah.
But how do you go from that article to a book?
Yeah. The book is kind of it's supposed to be like a humor gift book.
Okay.
Which is just like there's like a humor section at Barnes & Noble. I didn't really know what kind of book it was supposed to be, but then the editor sent me like a lot of examples. So there were like examples of like books. It's illustrated and just like kind of like a lot of like short lists and that sort of thing. So
your book is going to be illustrated?
My book's illustrated, yeah.
Do you know who it's going to be?
Yeah.
Who is the artist?
Eva Hill. Do you know her?
She's in
Los Angeles. Okay. She's really good. Yeah.
What type of work? Is it like a watercolor? Is it pen and ink?
I think it's pen and ink.
Nice.
I don't know that. I feel like I don't know enough about.
Did they give you an option?
They sent me like a few. They yeah.
Oh, so you got to be involved.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. But they had like people they knew already, which was cool. Nice. But you know what book I really like that's kind of like, it was Jesse Eisenberg's book, Brian Gives Me Hiccups. You know that one?
I haven't read it.
Okay. I think it's really funny. And it's sort of all like McSweeney's type posts.
I like that.
Yeah.
I love McSweeney's posts.
Me too. I like reading them a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. How often do you submit to McSweeney's?
Like kind of a lot. I think it's like kind of embarrassing. I feel
like Monks is like, oh, Jenny again.
I think that's probably what he thinks. He's always really nice. But yeah. Yeah. I mean, pretty much. Well, the thing is, like, because Mary and I write every day for Little Old Lady, so I just always have articles, and I'm like,
Who's your writing partner?
Oh, Mary Sella.
Okay.
Yeah, she's great. But I'm always like, I should just at least try it at McSweeney's before I put it on Little Old Lady. I don't know.
So is there a hierarchy? Like, do you go McSweeney's, then you go to your site, or do you go, I'm going to go to Belladonna, or I'm going to go to, do you do any Robot Butt?
I've done Robot Butt, yeah.
You do with the Points in Case?
I like Points in Case, yeah.
I love Points
in Case.
I love James Fulton.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, yeah. I think they've gotten a lot better recently.
Because Fulton.
Yeah, I keep seeing them everywhere. At least they're getting better at promoting, yeah.
He promotes well.
Yeah.
He's great. Like, the Night of Humorous Readings is a great event. I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And he brings a lot of fun creative writers together. And your piece, when you run another comedy magazine, you have the biggest, like, foam, you know, it's like a fear of missing out or a anger of not getting an article. So the article you did for them, that's all the different streaming services having brunch. Yeah. So funny.
Oh, thank you. I'll send more to the Weekly Humorist.
Send more to me. I was like, oh, I want that. Oh. And then you did a follow-up of all them watching television together. I'm like, oh, that's even funnier.
Well, that's kind of...
It's great. It was a great article. If you're listening, go to Points in Case and read the article of all the streaming services arguing about brunch. And then also what to watch on television. So it's Netflix and Hulu constantly getting into a fight. HBO Go jumping in or HBO Now jumping in about something like super snooty and cultural and well done or Sundance Channel. And then you have YouTube jumping in with something ridiculous. It's very accurate.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, you know what's kind of weird about that one is that like I started... Those were kind of like two different drafts because that'll happen to me sometimes is I have an idea and I'm like, I think it'll be funny if the streaming services are having a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote the brunch one I wrote the second one and then I was like, this would be funnier if they were like at brunch. So I basically just also sent the first draft.
So what was the first? They were just having a conversation.
The first one they were arguing over cable.
Okay.
I don't know. It's weird. I mean, I feel like I have like an inconsistent process. Like
it's very conceptual. I think it's very inventive.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. What else did I want to ask you about? You have a show. I saw something on Facebook that was, well, okay, you're writing jokes for a roast, for the Friars Club roast.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a huge deal. Yeah. She's the seventh woman to ever be roasted at the Friars Club in her 114-year history.
Yeah, yeah.
The other women are like Lucille Ball. Who else? Was it Carol Burnett?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't look at the other.
I think there was like this incredibly big list.
Yeah.
It says Gloria Allred.
She's a lawyer. Yeah.
And she's a member of the Friars Club because she sued them.
Mm-hmm. The first female member. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
I think there was a. Oh, it was Phyllis Diller, Sophia Tucker, Lucille Ball.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of people that they didn't list in the article. I guess they weren't famous enough or something. So what's the, how did that happen?
Yeah, that was just someone contacted me and asked if I'd be interested in it. I don't do roasts in New York. Do you go watch roasts in New York ever?
I do not.
There's like a huge roast scene. I think it's mean.
Those
kind of like
came
it.
Up. The roast battles.
Yeah.
Started coming up. I think maybe because, I don't know who started doing them in clubs where you're just insulting people.
Right.
And then they got popular in Comedy Central, which was Roast Battle.
Yeah.
I think that's the show, Roast Battle.
Yeah.
I thought the funniest twist on it, maybe it was a Union Hall show that it was the Boast Battle.
Oh, yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
And it was like complimenting the person.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In an annoying way.
Yeah.
I thought that was clever.
I know. I've seen, those are kind of fun. I mean, I actually think roasting is fun in that it's like a fun joke writing exercise, but
you have to do it in a way that's not so mean.
Right, yeah.
I like, you know, to skewer someone in a way where you can say something terrible about them, but do it in such a cool way that they're like, huh, that's pretty good.
Right, right. And I also, like, in the New York comedy scene, the people who roast all the time, like, it attracts, like, dudes who are just like, I want to be mean. You know, like, that's, like, the kind of people who want to do it all the time. Like,
yeah.
If it were just, like, if everyone were roasting, it could be fun, but I do feel like it, like, sort of, it attracts people who are like, let me say offensive things about women.
Because there's a whole group of people doing comedy that think being mean is funny.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's
you
can be mean while being funny, funnily mean or something like that.
Yeah.
But some people are just being mean and that's the joke. And I'm like, is there a joke there or are you just aggressively abusing me?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I cry and run away. No.
Yeah. No, I've gotten my feelings hurt being roasted. But, I mean, that's why writing for this roast is awesome because...
What's the process like? Are you writing with other people? Are you in a room?
Not yet. I wrote a lot on my own and they think we're going to go in a room. But it's nice that, like, they're not going to roast me. You know what I mean? So it's like, I get to say mean things. I'm not going to be saying anything.
And have you ever met this person that you're making fun of?
Gloria Allred? No. But I'm looking forward to meeting her. I mean, she was kind of a, not like a hero.
You're like, hi, you're my hero. I've never met you. Yeah. I'm going to make some jokes that are going to make you cry.
Yeah. She was like someone I admired before. Because I, like, knew her from, like, Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly kind of what it is. I mean, I'm really looking forward to, like, meeting the other writers, and I've been to the Friars Club. It's, like, very fancy.
It's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. They have, you can get a haircut there.
Oh, wow.
They have a barber. They have a steam room.
Yeah, the steam room came up in her suing them, because she...
It's not, it's, like, small. It's not like this place is, like, Equinox or something. Mm-hmm. Like, it is, like, tiny, and it's old.
Yeah.
Like, the building is old.
Yeah.
It's impressive. It's gorgeous. Yeah. The staircase that goes up is really nice.
Yeah.
The dining room has good lobster salad.
Yeah.
Lobster avocado salad. Just get that.
Oh, wow. I will get that. That sounds amazing.
It's always better to go there when someone else is paying, obviously.
Yeah.
You have to go with like a member and they just sign and then that's it.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to pay because you're not a member.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely take advantage.
I will. I assume I get food. I hope so.
Are they paying you in food?
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
That's probably what
it is. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it though. I like writing the jokes a lot. Like I mean, I just like to like sit and write jokes, and it's pretty fun for me.
And for that kind of a thing, you're doing just like Google research and then just spinning it into a joke.
Yeah, and so, I've learned a lot, which is cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're like, I can do a great book report
on
this person as I tear them a new one.
Yeah, I feel like I really know everything about Gloria now.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's something else I saw on Facebook. You invited, and I said I'm going.
Oh, you should come. The free wine thing.
I think it was a free one, but it's going to be a performance?
Yeah, so that, and listeners, you can totally come to my house and have free wine if you want.
Is this actually at your house?
It's actually, well, okay, so I live at...
Because this is the question. You invited like 1,000 people to something,
and
you said, come to my house. And I'm like, this sounds like a bad idea.
I know, I do...
I would never invite that many people to my house.
Yeah, so I'm not... I think with comedy shows, I'm so used to... not enough people showing up that I was like, there's no way that many people are going to come. But my house, it can fit like enough. Like, within reason, I think, like, the number of people RSVP'd now will be totally fine, especially because, like, not all of them will come.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to get, like, a shit ton of, like, the $2 wine, you know?
Well, I mean, do you live in a mansion? Wait, this is a New York, this is an Upper East Side apartment.
Yeah, well, so I basically live with my sister, and it's, my parents live in London, but then they have, like, a house in New York, and that's where we live.
Oh.
So it's like,
I'm definitely coming to this.
Yeah, so it is, like, a bigger house.
Swanky.
Yeah, I'm like a little, but I mean,
I'm gonna wear an ascot.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, I am worried about people like wrecking my parents' house.
It's like you're having a party when your parents went away.
It kind of is. I feel like, yeah, I keep like describing the situation to people, and they're like, "Do your parents know you live there?" And I'm like, "No, I live there." Like, they're in London for like a few years, and then they're moving back. So okay. We are like squatting while they're gone.
Hide the breakables.
Yeah, I know. I think I need to put tarp down.
You do. Cover everything in plastic.
Yeah.
Lock everything up.
Yeah. But I mean, so far, I do wish I hadn't made the Facebook event public.
Yeah, you should not have done that.
And I tried to switch it to private, and you can't switch it. Because right now, everyone RSVP'd is like people I know or like friends of the people on the show. And I'm like, they're going to be fine, but I don't want like a bunch of people to come last minute. Also, the premise of the show is very weird. So it's
what's
like,
the premise of the show?
It's like a lot of people are going to read sketches. Like I asked like maybe like 12 people to be actors, and we're going to do like an hour of rehearsing for like a 2 or 3 hour show. So they're going to be like reading them. And the point is for the writers to get feedback.
Are they all, they're all comedy sketches?
Yeah, all comedy.
With what kind of an idea? Like, would this be like an SNL skit type of formatting? Like, this is what we're doing. We're doing a skit like this.
Yeah, like UCB kind of.
Topical type stuff.
It could be topical.
Okay.
Yeah. Or it could really be. For the writers I asked, it was all people I'd like done UCB classes with. And so they're just all kind of always working on sketches. Mm-hmm. So I was like, whatever you guys are working on. I'm hoping it'll be. I guess because like I don't go watch like sketch open mics or anything. So yeah. I'm like, I don't know if it's funny to hear people read sketches.
You're like, I don't know how bad this is gonna be.
Yeah,
but
I don't
it could
know.
Be real bad.
It could be bad, but it also could be fun and like different.
Yeah.
But I just don't know. But anyway,
I'm excited now.
Yeah, you should come.
I'm now definitely coming.
That's why I do want. Yeah. I mean, that's part of the free wine thing. Is I'm like, I don't know if it's gonna be fun, so
you should make a dress code out of it too.
Oh yeah, maybe like a Friars Club.
Yeah, like one of those like pop-up dinner parties where everybody has to wear white.
Yeah,
everyone
yeah.
else, everybody has to wear like polka dots or something.
Oh yeah, I don't know. That could be fun. Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah.
I had a small clip from your set when you performed last week. I don't know what joke we pulled up here. I know what joke we didn't pull up because someone sent me a joke to play, and it was so dirty. I was like, you need to pull a different joke because I can't sit talking to Ginny and then play this joke in front of her. Even though she told this joke in front of a room full of people, I feel like I can't play this joke.
Well, yeah. Well, do you want to hear an awkward story?
Sure.
Before the awkward story portion of the set, of the podcast?
You can tell me, sure. She can tell me an awkward story now.
So my mom is, like, pretty supportive of comedy, and she's, like, come a lot, and she had some, like, businessy dinner thing where she said she had, like, this guy in town from Texas who, like, loves comedy and, like, really wanted to meet me. So I, like, went to this, like, fancy sort of, like, Wall Street thing, and it's, like, all old people. And the guy is, like, so excited. He's like, you got to tell me some jokes from your set. And I'm like, oh, it's like. And I was like, it's just, they're never funny when you say them just to one person. And then my mom, who I think is a little bit drunk, started telling my jokes to this guy. Like, she started doing my set for me.
Yeah.
And she was doing, like, my dirtiest jokes. She was like, telling
Which one? Just tell it by a keyword.
The one about eating potato chips during sex.
That's a great joke.
Thank you.
I think it's so funny.
I think it's my mom's favorite, which is why she told it to him. But it was so awkward because then I just had to like stand there while my mom is telling this very dirty joke to this guy.
All right. So this is Ginny Hogan live at the Guaranteed Delivery stand-up comedy show downtown in the mailroom.
I was in this raw vegan smoothie bar the other day. And some stereotypes are true. And I was like, I was there ironically, you know, and because I wanted to buy a smoothie. And Katie Holmes comes in, for real Katie Holmes. You guys all know Katie Holmes, right? She was like married to Tom Cruise. That's literally her only thing. But Katie Holmes comes in and she orders 3 of the exact same kind of smoothie. She sips all 3 of them. and then she throws two of them away, even though they all taste exactly the same. Like, can you imagine being so crazy that you, like, dig through the trash for Katie Holmes's rejected smoothies? Seriously, I could not taste the difference, you know? Like,
that was great. You did great. You were so funny. And I had never seen you do anything live before, and it was so exciting to have you on the show.
That was an awesome show.
It was fun. Yeah. You got to come to the next one. I think because it was so much fun to have the writer's happy hour before the show.
Oh, I didn't know. I feel like I got there late or something.
You got there late, but it's okay.
I'll come next time.
Next time, there's our sponsor is Swill. Go to getswill.com.
Okay.
It's a liquor store in your pocket. Free delivery. Use Drink 5 for $5 off your first order. They're my neighbors right here. Cool. But they supplied booze.
Oh, awesome.
And then we had like a cocktail mixer guy, and he was just making fun cocktails.
Oh, very cool.
For the writers. Yeah. Beforehand, so it was fun. Yeah, it was like Caitlin Kunkel from the Belladonna, and they're all writing a book too.
Yes, I'm looking forward to their book.
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah, it's coming out soonish, right?
Yeah, I think it's November. Like November.
Yeah.
And your book will be your first book.
Yes, and it's coming out in a long time, like over a year from now.
In a long time.
Yeah.
Is that less pressure because you know that it's not due, or do you have to turn the book in soon?
I have to turn the book in like in September.
Okay.
And then I don't know what I mean. It gets manufactured in China, and then it takes like 4 months to ship.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that I'm worried about is like that stuff won't be relevant, you know, like,
yeah, you kind can't of, like, do super
I can't
topical.
Do anything referencing. Yeah. But I think it should, I mean, I'm like, since I'm aware that it'll come out in like a year, I feel like I've been pretty.
You're padding it with evergreen content.
Yeah, evergreen.
You're like, don't worry, women aren't going to come too far.
Right, yeah. In the next Can you imagine year. If in a year everyone's like, what is sexism? yeah. That would be terrible for sales.
It would be terrible for you.
Yeah.
You're like, God, I hope doesn't happen for a year and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
In a year
yeah.
and a half, that can happen.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
So, how much are you writing for LOL, Little Old Lady Comedy? You're writing every day, and then you're writing McSweeney stuff every day.
It's all the same stuff, really.
So it's the exact same stuff.
Well, it is. It like truly like the.
Well, do you go McSweeney's then New Yorker when you send stuff in?
No, I definitely would go New Yorker first.
Yeah.
But they don't get. I feel like McSweeney's is fast about getting back to me.
Yeah.
And the New Yorker, it's just like buried sometimes. Yeah. So sometimes it'll take a while.
You have to write time sensitive in the subject line or something. Or is there a special email that goes there?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really write stuff that's especially time sensitive.
Yeah.
Although when I do, there is like an email. At least at McSweeney's, there's an email.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like I think I kind of just, I mean, and then I also write stuff. Like, well, the great thing about LOL is that like it can also be stuff that's just like really personal or like very much just like about me, and there's no reason any other publication would want to publish it, but it's still kind of like I think it's funny and like I think people.
It's like a diary for
it
you.
Can be, yeah, some of them. Yeah, like today I did one that was just like a pie chart of like what I tweet about.
Yeah.
And like, there's no way I would send that to anyone else.
Right.
But I still thought it was like fun to write.
It's like your Twitter drafts folder.
Yeah, exactly. It is. Yeah. Do you tweet drafts? Do you or keep drafts of tweets?
I probably have by accident of things that I meant to delete forever, and it's in there, and it's like horrific half jokes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I remember I thought this was really funny for like 2 seconds.
And then
Or something that you think is really, really funny when you're drunk.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, this is the funniest tweet, but I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to do it later. And then you like save it and you're like, what? I don't even get this anymore. Like, what was the reference to this joke?
You have more restraint than me. I tweet drunk a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are not funny. They're just very weird and sad, kind of.
Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Who are your favorite people in comedy?
Oh, my, like...
Who inspired you to write comedy? Like, what made you do this?
Oh, yeah. Well...
Just poor life choices?
Kind of. Well, honestly, stand-up was just, like, a lot of boredom at work. My favorite writers right now, I love Blythe Roberson.
Okay.
Do you know her?
Yeah.
She writes for The New Yorker, and I think she writes for Stephen Colbert. I really... Yeah, her New Yorker pieces are just, like, my favorite thing ever. I love. I
what
mean,
did she? There was something really, really funny at the New York. I can't. I'm trying to hunt down the writer of it. Maybe it was her. It was something about bikes, but it was like a year and a half ago. And it was just. I feel like the Daily Shouts are the. I feel like the Daily Shouts are the best thing about the New Yorker.
Yeah, I think they're. Yeah, I mean they're better.
The magazine could just be the humor in the cartoons,
right?
Basically,
and definitely like the Borowitz report is not good. I don't know. It's all right.
He's fine.
I don't think it needs to come out every day. I'm like, I think if you cut back on half of these and added in more daily shouts,
yeah,
like, yeah, I don't know. He's all right. I like daily shouts a lot. What other writers do I like? I've been reading kind of like, I guess like satirical fiction. I'm pretty into these aren't people who are like in comedy at all, but I like this guy Evelyn Waugh,
okay,
who wrote like kind of like satirical books in like the 1930s in England. In terms of
CNN, it's fun reading things that were written in the 20s that are satirical.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's smarter stuff. Like,
I
was leafing through this. This is great. This is Dorothy Parker.
Oh, yeah.
Writings from like the New Yorker from like 1920 stuff.
Oh.
And they are, some of them are really, really funny.
Yeah.
And they're, you know, they're of a time, definitely.
Yeah.
But like the writing is really clever.
Yeah.
It's fun reading like old clever writing because things can get so lazy.
Yeah.
As time moves on, people are like, eh.
Yeah. Plus, like, if you're reading something old, that means it's like stood the test of time.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's why you need to be a guest in my book club.
I would love to.
You got to come to the book club.
Yeah. I'm trying to read more books. Yeah.
I'm delinquent at the book club. Well, I'm usually good at reading the book, but I do it like the last 2 days before it's due.
But then it's fresh in your head.
It's very fresh. I'm just like shoving the book into my forehead, like I'm sleeping on it, like osmosis or something, because I don't want to show up and not have read the books. And I go into the book club, and they've definitely read the books, and they're very in depth. So. We're actually doing a fun summer stuff. We're doing graphic novels right now.
Oh, that is fun.
Yes. So I got to pick those up.
Do you like graphic novels? I haven't read one in a while.
I've never really read a graphic novel.
Yeah.
So this might be the first. We're doing The Watchmen.
Oh, cool.
Which is a graphic novel.
Yeah.
And then I think The Illustrated Man, which is a Ray Bradbury book.
Oh, cool.
So it's a little bit more old school.
So I was just reading Fahrenheit 451, but I stopped like halfway through.
You're like...
I'll watch on HBO. I mean, I read it like years
ago. I watched the movie.
Yeah. I read it like a long time ago, and then I was rereading, and then
kids today are like, "What are books?"
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What's this movie about?
Yeah.
It's about book burning. What's a book? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you still?
It's about them taking away your phone. Oh my god.
Yeah.
The horror.
Yeah. That's really funny. Yeah, I really like reading like paperback books. Like, I don't have a Kindle or anything.
Yeah, I like paper. I like books like this because I like to not be afraid to like toss my book someplace. Like, I go to the beach and you read your book and you fold down the pages.
Right,
I like having the. I like knowing how much more I have to read.
Yeah,
I feel like if you have a Kindle, it's like I have no idea how many pages are left in this.
Right. Yeah.
And if I have a big thick book, you're like, Jesus Christ, I have a lot to read. This is gonna take forever.
Yeah.
Or I'm almost done this book.
Yeah.
I'm sad. I read, like, murder mysteries, though.
Oh, cool.
Like, I read some humor books. Like, did you read 2030? It's an Albert Brooks. It's like a satire book.
Oh, no.
But I read mostly, like, there's this author named John D. MacDonald, and he writes, he's, like, the, like, 1950s inventor of, like, the anti-hero. So it was very, like, the hard-boiled detective who doesn't really want to do the right thing, but he does anyway, and he just wants to be left alone, and... He writes all these almost adventure-y type mystery novels, so I read all of those.
Oh, that sounds cool.
But I was kind of brought up on, like, Agatha Christie
type
stuff. My mom's a reader, so she'd always make me read books.
Very cool.
I just sit silently and read books all the time.
My mom used to read me Trixie Belden.
What's that?
You know Trixie Belden?
Uh-uh.
Well, I don't even think I think she got the books on eBay or something. I think it's, like, so out of print, but they're kind of like Nancy Drew.
Oh, I used to love Encyclopedia Brown.
Yeah, they're sort of like that. They're like children's mystery books.
I like children's mystery books.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah. And I also think I was, like, the only kid I knew who read Trixie Belden because, like, you really can't get them in bookstores or anything.
Trixie Belden.
Trixie Belden, yeah.
So it's kind of like a knockoff of Nancy Drew.
It might even have come first or something.
Oh, they're really old?
They're old. Oh, yeah, the books are really old. Like, the books were coming... Not that my mom is, like, crazy old, but the
like
books
the
were,
Hardy
like,
Boys
coming
types.
Out when she was a kid. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like or maybe Hardy had Boys. Already come out when she was a kid. Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, those I like those a lot. But they do all... They, like, she got, like, 30 of them, and they all follow the exact same, like, plot line, which is, like, she suspects someone... And then it becomes very obvious that it's someone else. And then at the end, it's the original person she suspected. Sorry to ruin Trixie Belden.
Totally ruined every single book. Everyone.
That's the plot of every book.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like the old... I used to watch a lot of Columbo and Murder, She Wrote.
Oh, yeah?
I watch a lot of old TV, but I love Murder, She Wrote. But you always know who did it, because whoever, usually the bigger star who's guest starring is the bad guy. Because they're not going to have the big star be like some nothing character.
Right, that's like offensive to
exactly.
them.
Exactly. Yeah. So if, you know, if you're watching one of these, you know, Law & Order SVUs, and if Chevy Chase is guest starring, he's probably the pedophile.
Yeah.
You know?
That makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
So now you have to tell me a real awkward story.
Okay.
What's a good talk-wordy story? Most funny people are pretty awkward. They have lots of
stories. I'm very, very awkward. I'm a really bad, like, drunk texter. Like, I got a big drunk texting problem.
Yeah. How do you prevent yourself from the drunk? There are apps for that.
I don't. Oh, really?
I don't.
I should use apps for that. Yeah.
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 Who do you text mostly when you're intoxicated?
So one big improvement I have over, like, the way I used to drunk text is, like, I used to, like, if I was, like, thinking about a guy, I would send my crazy drunk text thoughts to him. And now I have, like, three friends who I send them to. So
you
they
have an
do,
organized system.
They do. I send a lot to my friend Karen. Shout out to Karen. If you're listening,
thanks,
she gets like the brunt of my drunk texts about guys, and that helps me from actually texting the guys.
Like a buffer.
She's like a buffer. Yeah.
But then it's almost like she gets to digest all of your crazy.
Oh, she like died. Oh, she
gets
like
she gets the raw feed.
Oh yeah. Yeah, no, she knows it all. Yeah. Yeah.
Are these friends in New York? Or are these
she
friends you have in San Francisco?
She lives in Boston. So she's like a friend from college. So I've like known her forever. So
Where'd you go to college?
I went to Stanford.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
You were a fighting tree, right? Aren't they the fighting trees?
The cardinal, yeah. I was not into sports at all. But that is where.
Were you a writing major?
No. I was a math major.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Which I make no use of.
No.
It's been relegated to fun fact.
Yeah.
Although I do SAT tutor sometimes. Okay. But you definitely don't need to have been a math major to do that. I have an awkward story about that. So my junior year of college was a math major and was taking a lot of math classes. And I became convinced that like in the math building, firstly, there were more men's bathrooms than women's bathrooms. And they like weren't restocking the toilet paper in the women's bathrooms. Mm. Like they just like weren't doing it enough. And I think they just like, it was because there were like three female math majors and like one math professor. And I was like, no, the janitors aren't even going in here, you know? So I would go into the men's rooms and like steal the toilet paper basically.
Renegade.
But I was being pretty public about it. Like I would like take photos and post it on Facebook and like everyone knew I was doing it. Yeah. Or like anyone, I mean, no one cared, but like it wasn't a secret at all.
You were like a bathroom bandit, but everybody knew who was doing it.
Yeah, but I would also use the men's rooms too. Just, that's actually kind of a thing I do. I just think it's like important to use men's rooms. Anyway.
I don't know. I mean, they're very disgusting. We pee everywhere.
These were better than the women's rooms.
Really?
Because I think they literally didn't clean the women's restroom. Yeah. And they still weren't disgusting, but they just didn't have toilet. They would like run out of toilet paper and not have new toilet paper for like 3 days. So anyway, one time I was like in the men's restroom and then I overheard two guys talking about how there was no toilet paper and they were like, fucking Ginny came in here and like stole all the toilet paper. And I'm like in the next stall over. I'm like, hey. Yeah, that was awkward. But, I mean, I was proud of myself.
You should be.
I think I made a difference, you
know? You did. You took a stand for women everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. Although I do regret majoring in math, but I don't regret the toilet paper.
Did you do other things in college other than math? Did you do comedy in college?
I didn't do comedy. I was on the debate team.
Okay.
I had a weird thing against the comedy group in college, to be honest. Like, the sketch comedy group.
What was your thing against them?
They just, like, thought they were very funny and like weren't.
Yeah, because they were in a comedy troupe.
Yeah, but they just like, I mean, I think there were like a cappella groups that were funnier than them.
Oh.
Like there were a cappella groups who would do like spoof songs that were like funnier. But then also like everyone on the campus was like obsessed with them and like thought they were like the funniest people.
The comedy group?
Yeah. Also I thought the stand-ups, there was like one night where there was like stand-up every week and I thought those stand-ups were like also not good.
So you never did stand-up in college
No,
either?
I didn't do anything.
So what made you do stand-up? You started doing stand-up in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Just one night you did an open mic and you're like, I want to go on stage in front of all these strangers and tell jokes.
No, I started writing like a data blog that turned into like a humor blog. And then, you know what's funny is like a lot of, it was like, it's like a parody data blog.
Okay.
Because oh, I was a data scientist in San Francisco. That's what
Ooh,
I did.
A data scientist.
Yeah, also a useless thing that's now just a fun fact about me.
I see that word now used a lot more, scientist, next to things that aren't like chemistry.
Well, they're not
you always think scientist, you're like, chemistry? Yeah. They're like, no, data. And I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Also, like,
I see it on Bumble a lot, on the dating apps. Because on all the dating apps, it has, like, your job. Yeah. And then it'll be a photo of somebody, you know, very scantily clad and half naked, like, or pouting. And it says, like, scientist. You're like, huh.
Yeah.
Or it'd be like kindergarten teacher. And you're like, that looks bad.
Yeah. Well, in tech companies, they're really big into giving everyone the title of, like, engineer, even if it's, like, something not at all. Like, you can be, like, a support engineer, which is just, like, customer support.
Like, you answer the phone.
Yeah.
You're a telephone engineer because you lifted up the phone and you said hello.
Yeah, like, sales engineer. Yeah, it's so dumb. Anyway, I started writing this blog, and then, you know what's funny? It's like, I feel like stand-ups always have these stories that are, like, yeah, I mean, everyone was always telling me I should, like, do stand-up. And, like, no one ever told me I should just do stand-up.
People actually told me not to get on stage. Yeah. Don't talk to groups of people.
Yeah. When I told people I was going to start doing stand-up, everyone was like, okay. Like,
they're
you're doing
like,
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
She's also going to start making candles.
Yeah. But
jewelry? She's going to start making jewelry for her friends.
Yeah.
It's a phase.
I think people thought it was a phase. I mean, all my friends are really nice, so they were like, you'll meet fun people, which I did. I think they thought I was doing it to, like, make friends or whatever. But I just kind of got the bug. I don't know. And in San Francisco, the scene was, like, really, really supportive and nice. I think if I had started here, I don't think I would have, like, quit. Like, or I don't think I would have.
Seems rougher. It seems a lot rougher here.
Yeah. Also, like, I had just been in San Francisco for a while and only met, like, tech bros, and this was my first time meeting, like, guys who didn't do the same thing as everyone I'd ever met. I mean, it was, like, a blast. I do think, like, my first year doing comedy, like, was so fun. And now it's, like, sometimes fun, but it's not, like, I don't know. You know what it is? It's, like, my first year doing stand-up, it was, like, really just for fun.
Yeah.
And I was, like, I'm not going to do this. And now there's, like, pressure. And
now there's pressure to keep going?
Keep going, or, like, now I'm, like, I gave up my last career, so I'm just going to try to make comedy writing work. But now
become a comedy scientist.
Yeah, I could become a comedy scientist. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it seems like the stand-up can fuel the creativity for the writing.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
So it kind of keeps things going. Like, being up there and being funny, like, in this raw way makes you able to go home and then organize the jokes better and then format them into something for the New Yorker.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm also, like, I don't really have the work ethic to, like, write at night, so I might as well do stand-up.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, there's no other way I'd be productive at night.
Just drunk texting.
And I get drunk doing stand-up a lot.
Yeah. So it's the scene.
It's the scene, yeah. It can kind of just feel like going out. Like, it doesn't, I mean, sometimes it's really depressing, but sometimes it's just, like, well, if I'm going to be drinking, I might as well do, like, 3 minutes of comedy at this open mic.
Absolutely. Where's the best open mic? I used to always go, not open mics overall, but I used to always go to the East Village.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of good stuff there.
East Village seems to be a lot of comedy in East Village.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I don't go to the East Village a lot. I did when I started. I go to, like, Brooklyn a lot, like Bushwick. Do you know, like, Pine Box?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go there a lot. I like this place, Alligator Lounge. It's in Williamsburg.
Free pizza.
Free pizza, yeah.
I used to go there at least once a month.
Yeah.
My show, my buddy Kevin McCaffrey used to host a show at the Alligator Lounge.
Oh, that sounds so. Oh, he hosted the show.
He hosted show, but he does stand up all over the city, and he has another show at Union Hall that's fantastic.
Yeah,
but I used to love going to Alligator Lounge for the free pizza.
The free pizza's great.
They give you like these little coins, the wooden coins they give you every time.
Oh, now it's just tickets.
Back in the day, back in my day, we didn't have this paper.
Yeah,
we used to etch it out of wood.
Yeah,
but yeah, that's a good show. Is that open mic?
They have open mics and shows, yeah.
Okay.
And then, there's this place I love, the Creek in the Cave.
Creek in the Cave. I love the Creek in the
Cave. Yeah. I can spend, like, this Saturday, I think I was there for, like, 8 hours. It was
just hanging?
Well, they have open mics all day, and then I was on a show, like, late at night, so I just did the open mics and then did the show. But it's just, like, everyone goes through there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I was just, like, getting pretty drunk and, like, hanging out at the Creek in the Cave. I like that. Yeah.
Well,
like
we need to hang out more. I need to be going to comedy shows with you.
Yeah.
We'll definitely
come to the free wine show. Although that's not stand up.
I'm going to the free wine show.
Yeah.
And then you're gonna hang and record fun things for Weekly Humorous. We're doing audio articles of your articles. But then also I'm trying to encourage more writers to just come and hang here at the office.
Oh, yeah.
For like summer out, because we have the beer on tap and we have wine, even though the wine's all gone because someone drank all of it. Yeah. But yeah, I'm just trying to cultivate more comedy writers to hang out, because I feel like people write isolated, you know, and they don't leave their homes. They work from home. And I want people to get out, and because like only a couple writers came to the writers happy hour, because I'm like, and they weren't social. Some, the ones that showed up were social.
Yeah. Well, I've only just in the last like month met anyone who does like writing for websites. Yeah. And it's been really nice, because I think it started with doing the James Fulta show. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like it, they also had like a happy hour. And then I met people at your show. And it's like very cool, because it's people whose writing I've read like all over the place.
Yeah.
So it feels like meeting a celebrity kind of.
Yeah, it's fun to put a face to the name, or putting a face to a Twitter handle.
Oh, yeah. Because I'm Twitter friends. I mean, we're all tweeting at each other. Yeah. You know? Like,
it's fun actually meeting people who I just constantly like their tweets. Yeah, I'm like, oh, my God, that's so funny. You know, they're so hilarious. Yeah. And then you actually meet them and you're like, you're not that funny.
Yeah, that's fair. Some people are just writers. Plus, the writers I have met are so much more normal than stand-ups. They're just like...
Oh, stand-ups are a whole different breed of people.
Stand-ups are weird,
Stand-ups are weird. I mean, I know a lot of stand-ups who are completely boring, regular people.
Yeah.
But there's the other side of the coin. Either they are just like crazy neurotic.
Yeah.
Or just... it's that need of you need the laughs from the strangers. Like you need the approval for some reason, or they're always doing a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And you're just like, turn it off.
Come on. How I feel about improvisers. They're kind of
always like, are we in a scene? Yeah. Can I get a suggestion? Yeah. It's like, oh my God, I suggest you stop, huh?
Yeah. How about that? Great fit, yeah.
Anyway. This is fun.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for doing this.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is awesome.
People can find you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
It's Ginny Hogan _.
Which you changed recently.
I know, and I'm pretty
totally
bummed.
Effed so much stuff, because all these old bios had your old Twitter on it, and I tagged it, and I'm like, wait, it says inactive, or it says not active. I gotta redo all of her, because you wised up and you made it your name.
I really wish it could either be just Ginny Hogan or Ginny _Hogan. Those are both taken. I'm considering asking. I might have to change again, because I'm considering asking those people for their Twitter. Also, Little Old Lady doesn't have a good Twitter handle.
What's the handle for that?
It's Little Old Lady _.
Two underscores?
Yeah, Little Old Lady _ was taken. And then I wanted it to just either be Little Old Lady, all one word, or Little _old_lady.
Yeah.
Or Little Old Lady Comedy, but that's too long.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to have to reach out to people and ask them to give up their Twitter handles. Or like, I don't know.
Are they using them?
Not really. There was like one, the Little Old Lady.
That's the frustrating thing, is when people take your name and then they don't use it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
For guaranteed delivery, I finally set up like Instagram and Twitter and stuff. And I was like, oh, well, you know, this needs its own social media, because we have all these comedy shows and we have all these photos and all this. So for Twitter, it's I typed it all the way in. It was guaranteed delivery. And I typed the username and it seems to fit. And it was like, okay. And I was like, oh, that's great. But, and then it said, well, what's your Twitter handle? And I was like, well, why not? I thought I just typed that in. And it's too many characters.
Oh, no.
So it suggested, it was like, well, it can be this. And it was, and I picked it. It's guaranteed D.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah, but I mean, if someone's looking for something else that's D, maybe they've come to the wrong place.
Yeah.
But maybe guaranteed they'll stay
dick.
For the show.
Yeah, guaranteed.
Guaranteed dick.
Yeah.
That could fit in your stuff's very dating related.
I date a lot.
Do you go, how many like online, do you go on Tinder dates or online dates?
I used to do like a shit ton of online dating. Now I kind of like sleep around with stand-up comedians.
All right. Wow.
So I haven't been on a real date in like ages, but I still think I have like the same like content. I don't know. I occasionally go on things that count as dates, I guess.
Well, that's good.
But I used to do a lot. Are you into online dating?
I mean, I'm not into it, but I'm on
it.
You're
on it, yeah.
And I feel like it comes in waves where you go on like a ton of dates.
Yeah.
And then you get completely exasperated. Exasperated? Mm-hmm. And it's expensive to go on all these dates, because you end up having to pay for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Then, I mean, you know, you take someone to a food truck for a hot dog, that's not free.
I agree. Yeah.
But you get fed up with all the dates.
Yeah.
And then I won't go on a date for like 6 months or a year or something like that.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, what will happen to me is I'll start sleeping with a stand-up, and then I'll, like, you know, they all suck. And so
they do. I'm surprised that you sleep with stand-ups, because I feel like you get involved with comedy people. Not that it's bad, but it's bad.
Yeah, I know. And then it ends. Yeah, it's bad.
But then it ends.
And I see them all the time.
Yeah, you're in the same community.
Yeah.
You know? It's like...
Yeah, it's like high school or something.
Yeah.
But, and then I'm like, okay.
It's like dating somebody at the office.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Like, let's pretend that the entire New York stand-up scene is your office.
Yeah. It, also, if people at offices had no HR to make act appropriately. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, like.
Very inappropriate.
It's like dating in an office where you can't get fired.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But then I'll stop and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to go find someone normal on like Tinder.
Yeah.
And then
normal.
Like someone with like a regular job who like, doesn't know everyone I know. And then I'll like swipe for a little bit and then I won't make plans. And then I'll just start sleeping with another stand-up comic. That's happened. That's been happening for the last like maybe like 8 months. But maybe I think I've broken the cycle now.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What broke the cycle?
Just my new resolve to not.
Nice.
And it's not like I definitely don't sleep with as many stand-up comics as other people. You know, like it's not. There are people who. I mean, it kind of makes sense. We're all together every night, but yeah. I don't know.
It's like camp.
It is like camp.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's like incestuous.
It's incestuous, yeah.
Like theater camp.
Yes.
It's like these drama kids.
Yeah.
Or the band or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like that weird, like. Comics are like band kids.
Yeah, and they can make fun of you on stage.
Yeah.
The worst is when you don't know if they're talking about you. You know, if it's like a dude who's talking about someone and you're like, that could be me, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's hard. That's brutal.
Because they're sleeping with so many other stand-up comics.
Probably. Or it could just be like anyone.
Anybody.
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Well, we look forward to hearing how the dating progresses.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
So it's Jenny Hogan underscore.
Underscore, yeah.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
And it's Little Old Lady Comedy. It's Little Old Lady underscore underscore.
On Twitter. But our website is littleoldladycomedy.com.
See, at least you got that.
Yeah, that's what we wanted. So.
That's all that matters. Yeah. People go to the website.
Yeah, go to the website.
And I'm Marty Dunnicks, at Marty Dunnicks. Please follow us at Weekly Humorist and sign up for our weekly e-newsletter at weeklyhumorist.com. And check out the monthly guaranteed delivery shows that are going to have a fun little happy hour beforehand, sponsored by Swill, a liquor store in your pocket. Use code DRINK5 for $5 off your first order. Wow, this was awkward. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
This was great. Talkward is distributed by Humorist Media. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.